Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we talked to a slice of life, human interest story about a squatter and a guy in a house. It's an interesting story. We'll play the clip and then we'll talk to the guy. And also March Madness Madness on the way as well.
Inside the toolbox as the Southland comes alive once again with traffic. It appears as though safe at home is now unsafe on the road. The 134 looks like the Suez Canal right now, so we need to check in with Dusty Roads for the first time in a long time. From Whittier to Watts through four-way stops, look out for cops. We got the music that makes you move, so put the pedal down and get out of town. We got green lights for the cars on the toolbox.
I know tonight she comes. She's taking a swipe at fun. She gives me a reason for setting my sights. Well, I know tonight she comes.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Peter Facinelli, with Gina Grata back on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we begin the bittersweet sweet 16 of March Madness Madness. And now, he's not running to replace Gavin Newsom, but if he were, his campaign slogan would be, less woke us, more focus. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, but on a mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. All right. Well, a lot went on after we signed off last week. We had our Jam in the Van, which is an outdoor comedy and music show we did on the West Side. I showed up just a few minutes before I was due to go on stage because I had to be out at Willow Springs the next morning in the high desert doing a car race. And I actually did Tucker Carlson before I left. So
from
I had
the driveway van?
Yeah, from the driveway van, which is here's an interesting thought experiment. And I don't know if there's ever been a time when you could say this. Because of the van that they park in your driveway, you can watch Tucker Carlson. You could watch his monologue. You can watch his show for the first 20 minutes and then walk out and be on his show and then walk back and watch the rest of his show.
Yep.
Now, traditionally, if you did a late night show, they'd tape at 5:30. You could watch it that night. Later that night. If you did a show, a game show, you'd just be there. If you did a sitcom, it would air in 6 weeks or something. Has there ever been a time in history when one could literally walk out one's house, be in the middle of a show, and then walk back and watch the rest of the show?
No, it's very radio, but in TV, you don't hear about that.
Right. And now it's funny. I watched Tucker Carlson, but I never watched the episode I'm going to be on because it's almost I feel like I have the brain of a native who would be spooked with the bizarre juju that like it's weird to sit there and watch a TV show knowing you're going to walk onto that TV show and then come back. So
even if you're like on the news, like the local news, how rarely do they do live hits anymore? Like it's so like it's, everything's pre-taped and produced and edited. Like it's pretty rare.
Yeah, I do not know of another instance, so you guys can tweet me if you want. But anyway, so I had to do, I was also talking to Dr. Drew about this because now that his parents are dead and my parents are dead to me, we can talk openly about our hostility for our parents. And Drew kept a good stiff upper lip while his parents were still alive. But as soon as they hit the ground, he started talking smack.
Yeah, thoughts.
And I had to do Tucker on Thursday night and then go do the jam in the van on the west side. And then I had to be out Willow Springs, which is 90 minutes high desert Lancaster, to do a car race on Friday. And then I got back home Friday night. And then Saturday, my daughter went, can you take me and my friends to Malibu? Which on a Saturday is about an hour and 15 minutes each way. And
wait, this was the kind when she put the thing in her mouth, the teeth whitener, and then Siri asked you, please take us to Malibu on Saturday.
So no, she did it verbally, her own voice. And I thought how my mom's head would have exploded if I asked her for a ride. She would have been like, I had to go to the peak. I had to go to the west side. And then I was in. Not that my mom would do Tucker or Jam in the Van or a car race.
In this hypothetical scenario.
In this hypothetical, if my mom was out in the high desert all day and then you wanted a ride to Malibu, then everybody would be like, oh.
Fuck yourself.
Oh, my God. And I realized that, you know, we've talked about it before, like driving was such a big deal. And you have no context when you're a kid. You're like, this must be super strenuous, expensive stuff. And then you do it as an adult and you go, what the fuck was the big deal again?
There isn't one.
There isn't.
Not at all. Can I interject? You just said that I, too, was a jam in the van. I walked, it's a mile from my house, maybe like, you know, a mile and a block from my house. And everyone's in, you know, in the neighborhood. And I'm like, I might as well stop by and, you know, say hi. I haven't seen anybody in literally a year plus. And so hop on over to Jam in the Van. Adam Ray's outside on his phone talking to his fiance. I hop on in. You're on stage. The crowd, by the way, they have a cool setup over there with the lights and they packed him in. It was a nice setup.
Yeah, I agree. There were like, it was... People sit in folding chairs and put the blankets over their legs. They, you know, have a drink and a smoke.
Lights,
and it's kind of nice.
Nice ambiance. Mm-hmm. But it was cool to be, it was very cool to see Dawson and Chris and Emmy and intern Ryan. I met for the first time. It was very cool. I hung out in the green room for about 8 minutes until like a dozen people descended on the green room. Like, it's probably enough time for me to hear. But Dawson, upon leaving, Dawson goes, you know, good naturedly, he's joking. He's like, or maybe he wasn't joking. He's like, would you eat something? And I'm like, buddy, this is me plus 22 pounds. You didn't see me 22 fucking pounds ago. I'm still very skinny.
Hey, Brian.
Hey.
Same.
Yeah. See, she gets it.
Yes. You plus. Yeah, you were down, what, 140 something?
No, 133.
Oh, wow. My God.
It's tiny.
I was skin and bones. And Dawson hadn't seen me since before all of this. And so when he saw me now, he's like, hey, you're looking pretty thin. It's like, dude, this is me plumped up.
How'd it go, Dawson? How'd your set go?
I think it went okay. Honestly, I got out of it exactly what I put into it. I've had a few very busy weeks, so I haven't had that much time to really go over it.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing seeing someone like Adam Ray up there who just gave a clinic.
Yeah,
and
he
it's
was
both
great.
It's both heartening and depressing at the same time. Like, I cannot do that. But some of my jokes landed better than others. There were points that I've gotten laughs on other jokes and everyone was just staring at me. And I'm like, okay, move on. don't stay here. They're not laughing. Move on. And it was good. It went a lot quicker than I imagined. It felt like I was up there for 3 minutes. I asked August afterwards, I'm like, how long was I up there? And it was just over 5 minutes. I forgot one of my better jokes that was part of the set, and I remembered it halfway through your set, and so you might have heard a subdued fuck from way in the back.
I thought that was just an audience member.
Yeah.
So it went well, but not great.
Yeah, I straight up okay. It went okay.
How'd your set go, Maxipata?
I was fucking awesome.
All right.
That's what I'm looking for.
No, I think it went well.
People popping those fingers, tapping those toes.
I found a new yardstick to measure success. And we've talked about weird esoteric stuff. Like I said, like, how many times in your life have you paid for parking? Which means Well, if you've done it a lot, it means you've traveled a lot, it means you've left your car at the airport, it means you've gone out and seen shows, it means you've gone in and tried restaurants. Like, how many times have you paid for parking? And anyone can go to a McDonald's, park up the street, and walk in or drive through or whatever, but paying. Like, all right, having your parking validated or a valet and, you know, that kind of stuff means you're going out.
Freezer on the bottom.
Yes. freezer on the bottom. I came up with a new one, and I was thinking about it. I realized that both of my parents, their entire life, have never owned a clicker, a gate clicker or a garage clicker.
Really?
Wow. Yes. Now, look, I understand people live in shitty apartments and they have that big iron gate. Fine. But you have a clicker. Fine. You have a clicker. But I'm talking about a gate clicker, a garage clicker. None of my parents' houses ever had a garage. And if they had a garage, I was living in it. So, you know.
There are three on my visor right now.
My
home garage, Adam Carolla Show Studios, and daycare.
Yeah,
three on my visor.
Oh, now we gotta break down that game film, because I was kind of thinking about it. It's like, well, I have a garage at home, and I also have a second garage door at home, which is a double clicker. Then I thought, well, wait a minute, that's the same dwelling. Does it count?
And
then
I thought, that counts for double.
Yeah, it counts for more. You got a big garage. And then I thought, oh, I got a gate here. And then I got a gate at the other shop, and then I got a condo in Malibu. So I think I'm at four or five clickers. But I'm talking that my parents never owned one in their entire lives. And that's the way it's looking, they're going to make it to the grave without a clicker.
They're not going to install a LiftMaster in their 85th year?
No. So I think the conceit has to be, how many have you ever had at once? Because if you moved from apartment to apartment to apartment, right, and they each came with a clicker and the gate, well, you could have eight at the end of your life, but it wouldn't really count. You need them at once. And then you have to figure out stuff like, well, now Brian's got a clicker for this gate, mm-hmm, but he doesn't own this property.
True.
But he does have a job that has a gate, you know, so you got it. Yeah. You got to give some points for being a part of something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Half point.
But both my parents shall make it to their grave without ever owning a clicker.
And not even the kind of garage door that does the, like, the counterbalance, like the shitty one. It's not on rails. It just kind of teeter totters.
No, not the track ones. No, we never. My mom, the house I grew up in, Maxipata will attest, there was no garage in that house.
Right.
Because they didn't have cars when that house was built.
It was a driveway that just hits a fence.
What you lacked in garages, you made up for in front doors.
That's right. But two front doors. Then my mom moved to her mom's house, which just has a carport, because they converted the garage into my grandfather's den. And then, my dad had that old A-frame in North Hollywood, no garage, or that was converted into something. And then the other house in North Hollywood, I lived in the garage, that was converted as well. So they've never had a gate of any kind.
Of course.
So zero.
Yeah, to keep them out.
Zero clickers. Yeah. We're doing a live pod, by the way, Jam in the Van, May 22nd. So tickets
same
will
place?
Be available soon.
Yep, yeah. Same place.
I'm going to walk place. There. I'll just see you guys there.
This is exciting.
I had another semi-philosophical thought, and I don't know. It's not ever talked about, but everyone's always talking about what's going down on the border. Each side is trying to hold the other side responsible. You know, kids in cages. Trump's putting kids in cages, and now it's not kids in cages, but it's kids in the same facilities. And everyone's outraged. It's outrage. Like, AOC went out there and just started weeping openly when Trump was president. She's not paid a visit this time, but she went down there and just wept. Everyone's weeping for the kids.
She was pepper sprayed.
But I keep thinking about it, and I have this different head on the whole thing, and I'll play you the question from the press conference, which is Cecilia Vega. She's asking about a story about the border, but and then that'll lead me into my thought.
I'd like to circle back to immigration, please. You just listed the reasons that people are coming, talking about in-country problems, saying that it happens every year. You blamed the last administration. Sir, I just got back last night from a reporting trip to the border where I met 9-year-old Josel, who walked here from Honduras by himself along with another little boy. He had that phone number on him, and we were able to call his family. His mother says that she sent her son to this country because she believes that you are not deporting unaccompanied minors like her son. That's why she sent him alone from Honduras.
We're fine. The point of my story is all I hear is guys walking from Honduras, 9-year-olds walking from Honduras. And then the other one is while their older sister's being raped all along the way, then they get here. We put them up in some sort of facility along the border, and then the politicians show up and go, they're sleeping on air mattresses. And it's like, yeah, but they're not being raped, and they got a roof over their head, and they got some air conditioning, and they got a little soccer field out back, and they got a blanket made of tinfoil, and they're being fed, and there's medical personnel here. You guys are missing the part of them walking from Honduras. That's kind of the part. See, for me, yeah, it'd be like when the fucking tornado hits Kansas, everyone shows up in the gym of, you know, and the Red Cross shows up. I don't walk in and go, they're sleeping on the floor. I walk in and go, their fucking tornado took out the entire village.
Yeah.
Now they're, for this period of time, they have to sleep together in this place and like share a bathroom and stuff. But it's so insane. Right and left does it. They're both equally outraged that they're the facilities. You know, they're all grouped together. They're on the floor. They don't have their, and it's like, yeah, but they just walked here from Central America. And evidently there's coyotes and drugs and rapists all along the way. Doesn't it seem better to be here? I know it's an air mattress. I know it's not a Sealy or a Posturepedic, but still better to be safe here, right?
It's a bad faith argument to be either outraged or dumbfounded or whatever that there is a facility where people need to be processed. You know what I mean? If someone shows up at you unannounced at your door, like there's a facility, like you being this is outrageous or I can't believe this. Yes, you can believe it. It's completely believable.
Well, first off, what's the alternative? Thousands of people show up, and you got to do something with them. And everyone was nuts. Like, kids in cages, kids in cages. Well, look, we can't just have an open door policy. If you're going to be somewhere, you have to be processed. We have to keep you there. We have to know where you are. And then we have to facilitate taking care of you to some degree. But I don't know. Would you guys rather be on the trail somewhere between Honduras and Tijuana? Or would you rather be in Texas at a facility asking what's for breakfast?
There's no question.
With coyotes and coyotes.
Right, with coyotes and coyotes.
And here's the other, I mean, we've all heard these press conferences for the last, you know, 4 years plus. And maybe I'm blocking it out. Maybe I'm naive. But do we recall any president that where they're talking about, you know, like this little boy, 9 years old, walked here from Honduras, you know, seeking a better life? Has anyone said, yeah, can you believe how fucked up Honduras is that a little kid would have to flee there and walk, you know, how many countries over to try and be safe? I mean, does anyone say that?
Nobody says that. But okay. But you just did. Thank God. Okay. Yeah. Anyway,
president,
it's just look. It's not like they were on a lazy river in Maui and we plucked the kids off their raft and dropped them in a facility that were there. First off, wherever they're coming from, evidently it's so bad that the mom tells the 9-year-old start walking towards the border.
Chance,
so that's number one.
Your best chance is to go with your friend.
Then there's the trail between here and there, which sounds like the worst hike ever. And then there's security, some air conditioning, 3 hots and a cot over on this side. So let's just keep that in mind when everyone's going insane about what we're doing with the kids.
That really is something I'd really like to see for myself. Because, you know, just to see what it really looks like, what's really going on. Because if you're watching MSNBC and you're watching Fox or whatever, whatever, you're getting a very different perspective, sure. You know, of either kids in cages or like decent facility. I just want to see it because who knows what to believe.
They smuggled out a few pictures. Mr. Transparency Biden is not letting the press go over there. I just want the truth, just transparency. He's not having any of that. But they smuggled a few pictures out. And it's what you'd think. It looks like what a high school gym looks like after a tornado hits.
Right.
And my whole thing is like, I never need to know. And I'll tell you why. What it is we're a decent and generous society. We will do the best with what we have to offer. And at points we can be overwhelmed, but by and large, they'll be safe. They'll have medical physicians, they'll have food, they'll have some health care, they'll have some activities, and we're basically, they're going to be detained in a center. It's not, you know, this thing is like, we're torturing these kids in cages. You know, it's like, no, they're forced to drink out of the toilet. I think AOC said that. It's like, no one's drinking out of it. I'm sure they have tons of bottled water. I'm sure there's a bunch of volunteer groups right. And churches and stuff, and they're doing the best they can. After a natural disaster hits here, it would be what the Red Cross looked like.
That's I've just pulled up a little picture, and that is what it looks like. It's kids with foam mattresses and pillows and stuff. But then you think also we are in the middle of a global pandemic, so you know this is not.
It's not unreasonable.
Yes.
But again, the notion, right or left, nobody. Nobody's in the torture kids business for fun and recreation. You know what
not
I mean?
It
doesn't. Very few people.
It doesn't
very
get few. You reelected. It's not a fun policy. There's nobody does that. It's just
you can't brag to your friends. It's limiting.
They'll do the best with what they have. And when there's a surge, then there's going to be more people in the room than there was before the surge. That's how it works. And they'll do the best to accommodate them. But again, walking here from Honduras is no picnic. So I would bet if you asked every human being that's in one of those facilities, are you glad you're in the facility versus halfway to the facility with the coyotes? I'm guessing they would say yes, and that's enough. All right. And by the way, who do we compare ourselves as a nation to? You know what I mean? Who does all this? You know, like, why don't they have first class? You know, how come we don't provide? I don't know. Ask the world. Ask all the countries they came from. How come you guys ask all the countries they passed through? Mm-hmm. Why don't you guys have world class accommodations for these people? I don't know. You know, this is part of the. You know, I'll tell you, it is kind of the other side of the coin or the knife in that when we do this America exceptionalism and we're the best and we've got to be better, this is part of the problem. The bar is so fucking high that we believe, unlike almost any other country, that we're going to hit with a wave of folks coming over here and we're supposed to handle it as if they're all checking into a Four Seasons. All right. We have an Inside Edition squatter story that Max Zapata found, and then he found the person that's involved with the story. Oh. Human interest. By God, that's producing.
he found me.
Oh.
Yeah. Chris.
Yeah, damn it, Chris. I don't want to take
that. Nah, it sounds about right. All right. So we'll play the 2-minute Inside Edition story first.
Tracy Albert and her husband Miles used their savings to buy this 4-bedroom dream home in Riverside, California 14 months ago, but they have not been able to move in, even though they've been paying the mortgage every month.
He just said he wasn't leaving. That was it. Wasn't going to leave the house, barricaded himself in the house.
So who's the guy blocking their way, refusing them entrance to their own home? It's the previous owner.
Do you think that this was his plan from the beginning?
Yes.
Realtor Chris Taylor says he's never seen anything like this in 18 years selling homes.
Every I was dotted, T was crossed. Everything that could have been done was done. And there's nothing that could have been done to actually prevent this.
The previous owner of this home is now relying on the coronavirus eviction moratorium, which prevents anyone from getting kicked out of their home during the pandemic. But the couple says that they closed on this house in January 2020 before any government mandate was put into effect.
I definitely think it's a case of fraud that he knew he wasn't going to move out, staged boxes to look like he was going to move out, and then stayed behind.
The Alberts say the courts keep pushing their case back.
I can't walk onto the lot. I was told that would be trespassing. I've been there. The sheriffs have told me to leave.
The alleged squatter, Hassam Bakhtar, and his family have apparently stopped taking care of the property.
So all of this was beautiful when you bought it?
Beautiful and green. The trees, beautiful palm trees that are all yellow. There's all weeds.
Our cameras were there when the homeowner tried one more time to get inside.
Hello. You think he's home?
Yeah, he doesn't leave.
I also tried to talk to the family.
Mr. Bakhtar, Jim Murray from Inside Edition.
But no one came to the door.
What would you say to him if he came to the door now?
Get out of my house.
You know, it'd be funny if the guy was like, come on in and get some sweet tea and Toll House cookies. I'm just going to change my panties.
Quite the twist.
Quite the twist.
Just descended upon the couple.
Oh, the prey has now become the hunter.
Predator.
The predator.
Now, yes. Why are they paying their mortgage?
Yeah.
Well, if I know banks, they're just like, this is our deal.
Problem. Yeah.
And it's also, we have fucked up so heavily with the rule of law, especially in California. It's like, go get the fucking sheriffs, go show up with the fucking leg irons and the pepper spray and throw this fucking asshole out of the house. Of course, the law's on the squatter's side, because that's how we roll. Yes.
Did we talk about this? Sorry, my head's still a little jumbled, but you know how the other day, or was it last week, there was a big demonstration at Echo Park Lake in,
yes,
you know, not far from
I
here.
I don't think we talked about it, but it's
they
the
were
news.
Trying to, you know, encourage the urban campers to maybe find accommodations elsewhere as opposed to in the park. And lots of people started demonstrating, and Gascon, our attorney general, got pissed about it. So that's the world we're living in here.
It's well, when I was a kid, there were three things that were said constantly, and only one of them is still true, which is they would say, this is a free country, I can say whatever I want. All right, that's off the table. And then they would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but and that's off the table now. But the one they said that is still very true is possession is 9/10 of the law. And evidently, if you just fucking pitch a tent in a park, that's your home now.
That's yours.
And now we got to convince you why you should leave the park. It's great. Yes. The our unhoused neighbors, everyone, who are insane junkies. Hey, is Miles Albert? Miles, you on?
Yes.
You're the homeowner?
I am.
How unhelpful has the city been in terms of getting this guy out in over a year now?
Okay, so unhelpful would be an understatement, because what they're doing is saying, we cannot get involved in any way whatsoever unless you try to get into the house. Then we will get involved and have you arrested and pull you away. But besides that, there will be no involvement. So again, if it was just one of those things where they said, hey, you know, it's kind of the Wild West, you got to handle it yourself, I would say, thank God. I would love to do that and go in and do it myself. But that's not the case. It's the Wild West for the squatter. For me, they would come and have me arrested and pulled out for trying to get my own home.
Yeah. I know. It's interesting. It's kind of, in a weird way, it's kind of the same thing that's going on out here with Tin Horn Flats. Like, the fucking government has turned against the business.
Yes. I have brought that up to
Brian.
You.
Miles, yes. The part that I would worry about, this is Brian, I'm on the show. The part that I worry about is not the paying of the mortgage every month, which sucks. You obviously can't get in there. It's, what is this guy going to do upon, God willing, he leaves someday? What's he doing to the house right now?
That's the question. So that's our concern, right, is that, you know, he's going to mess up the house. He's going to do all this stuff. And seeing the outside of the house makes you think that's definitely going to be the case. My biggest fear was, like, you know, concrete down the drains or something that's going to be a $20,000 fix or something like that. But of course he's going to mess it up. It's really for no reason whatsoever. Out of some sort of spite, and I don't know why he'd be spiteful to someone who has essentially been paying his mortgage and having him live for free, like he should
that's
be
a good point.
Grateful.
But
for some reason, there's spite.
Yeah.
You should be thankful.
No, I know. We're living in a new world order where people are insane and the government sort of takes their side. I mean, that's essentially where we're living now. or they're insane and criminals, and the government sort of has their back, or the city council does. Is there any, and playing the whole COVID card when this is pre-COVID, so what then, what are you left to do? Like, what is the schedule?
So the schedule is, and you mentioned this, the pre-COVID thing. So back in October, because they said the courts were just shut down before, they weren't going to do anything about it. They said the judge acknowledged that this case did not meet any of the COVID moratorium restrictions and says he'll sign the writ, which is necessary to make all this stuff happen. So then we call and call and call, and then they put another court date for January, and they put another court date for March. And as we were driving to that Inside Edition interview, there was supposed to be a court date right then. All of this by Zoom, by the way. You can't see anybody in person, can't do anything. Our lawyers standing outside. And they go, yeah, you know what? We're just going to push it back to June. And that's when I was like, no, like this is not happening. Like this, I'm not waiting until June for any of this. This should have been done. There's a piece of paper out of all the documents we have on the very first piece of paper. You look at it, you look and see that it was bought in January 2020. You look and see that it was paid for in full, and that's it. It's thrown out. It would take less than 5 seconds for any judge to look at it and say, oh, this doesn't meet any of the hardship standards that would go along with COVID. And the hardship, we paid cash for the home. He sought out somebody that would buy cash. So he's sitting with, we cleared out our savings, gave it to him, and then on top of it, had to take a hard money loan for the extra, you know, $180,000, $200,000 that was on top of it. And he didn't have a mortgage out on it. It was owned by his own corporation he had sold it to. So he's just sitting with $700,000 in the bank, and I'm sitting with nothing in the bank, and he's getting the hardship sympathy of the state, county, city, all of it.
Yeah.
Like, while he's getting, and we're paying his HOA. We're not allowed to shut off the power.
Wait a minute. All right, hold on.
The HOA is, the grass is dead.
I was just going to say, they need to send him a letter.
I was going to ask about the power, because the city of Burbank happily shut the power off to Tin Horn Flats. Exactly. Because they defied them. They dared to defy them, but they're super dangerous, now somehow safe, outdoor dining. But they will not shut the power. And by the way, if you threw a party up in the hills in a house with more than 20 guests or 10 guests, and you did it twice, they would shut the power. So they're very happy to shut the power on homes who defy them. But this is not their problem. That's the whole thing. This guy's not defying them. This is just a taxpayer who needs you to actually do something. It's like, it's almost like the city is like the worst insurance company ever. It's like you pay in and pay in and pay in and pay in, and at some point you get into an accident and you call them and go, okay, and they go, you're on your own.
Well, the only thing worse than that, at least insurance companies don't want to pay out the money. But you're asking the city to do the one thing they love to do, enforce rules. You guys love to enforce rules. Here's your chance.
Yeah, why won't they shut the power?
Oh, because that falls under the COVID laws, that you can't shut off power, utilities, water, any of it, even though, again, this shouldn't fall under any COVID laws. But that's how, I mean, it's just so dismissive of, nah, you can't do it because it's COVID. And you're like, oh, no, this doesn't apply. Like, well, COVID.
You know what I'm wondering?
Like, oh,
because
okay, like, whoop.
In this day and age, you really got to get creative with this stuff. I heard on the clip they said he and his family. Are there other people living in there with him?
Yeah, it's his wife and kid.
You know what I would do? I would do, at the very least, and I know nothing about this. This is from a 2-minute clip. I would do a welfare check and a 5150 on this MFR and say, you know, he's possibly neglecting and abusing these people that, you know, he's harboring inside this house.
It's not a bad idea, and we have had every possible thought over the last 14 months go through our head. We did think about that. He has not left the house in 14 months. Like, this is what it's worth to him to be staying in there. Now, his wife will leave late to do grocery shopping or whatever it is, because we have surveillance on the whole situation, but he has not left. So he has essentially ended his own life to try to, like, you know, nothing, everything else has stopped just so he could get this, just to completely take us over, apparently.
Well, Miles, we hope that you keep us updated. It is more and more, you know, turning out that the city and the state, they don't really work for the citizens. They just kind of work for themselves, or the teachers' unions, or whoever, the homeless. Like, somehow,
just an indifference.
They're
just a malignant indifference.
Well, here's what drives me nuts. If you park in the wrong parking space on a city street, highly motivated. Highly motivated, but in situations like this, not motivated at all. And I've been saying this for a long time, that is the end of society. You cannot be governed by their set of rules for them, and then the super laissez-faire enter the Thunderdome when it's yours. And even worse, if it was just enter the Thunderdome, then you and a couple ex-cop buddies of yours would show up and throw this piece of shit out on the lawn, but they will arrest you for that.
That's right. If I could just say, too, you're right about that, and even the cops that we've talked to have said, like, if this was any other state, this would not be a problem. And, like, man-to-man talking to them, they're like, oh, if I was you, I would just drag him out in the street and do this. It's like, yes, that's what I'd like to do. And they're like, but we'd have to put him back in there. And I've heard you talk about this before, but I was saying, you know what we should do is just basically build an addition or a deck, and then the city would be down here in 2 seconds.
That's a good
point. Because we have a permit for it.
Yeah.
And then we could actually get their attention, you know, because it's madness. I mean, it's...
Yeah. All right. Well, once you get him out, you can sell the place, and I'll see you in Texas, Miles.
Look forward to it. I'm a big fan. Appreciate you guys shining light on this. And one more thing. Mark Takano is the 41st District U.S. Representative that I've tried to get out a million times to step in and try to help this, and I've heard nothing back. You know who I hear back from? Max Zapata. That's who gets back to me on Twitter. This guy, nothing back whatsoever. So, no. Max Zapata, run.
Yeah.
For House Representative. And really appreciate you guys having me on.
They're not. He's down in the LGBTQ. PPDPPQBFD March doing something right now. He doesn't fucking care about taxpayers. All right. Thanks, Miles. It's funny. This guy's name was Hassan. Mm-hmm. Hassan was the name of the crazy Arab guy with the giant sword in the Bugs Bunny cartoon. And his
Hassan Chop.
Yeah, that was.
Do you remember that?
Did they cut those out? Because we've been watching a lot of old Bugs Bunny, and that one ain't on there.
That might not have been on HBO. The cut, no pun intended. But I remember that distinctly from my childhood.
Yes, because we didn't have things. That's all we'd have. You see, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck was trying to get the treasure. And then at some point, it was back when it was Arabian Nights, like Arabia was it was so very romantic, exotic. Big and romantic, you know. And he would yell Hassan Chop.
He was an insane giant man who tried to chop Bugs Bunny in half with a sword.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google Hassan.
He ended up probably going after Daffy Duck more. But anyway. All right. Let me hit a spot and then we'll get to the March Madness, the bittersweet 16. All right. We will take ourselves a break. Max Pat is going to find Hassan Chop. Oh, yeah. And then we'll come back and we'll do March Madness, Bittersweet 16.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
If you said Sunset Boulevard.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Oh, he's found it.
Save me, pal! Save me! Help!
Hassan Chop!
Yep.
Help!
No, blank.
Call me a cab, boy, and be quick about it. I'm a heavy dipper.
Hassan Chop. All right. So he should just do what we do, like just blare that. Just get a loop of Hassan Chop.
That's good.
And then just put on a big speaker and just leave it out there. You know, do go say anything style. You just get there in a trench coat and just hold the boombox over his head.
Because the neighbors aren't being tortured enough by this guy right now.
Oh, God. Oh, don't even get me started. Can you imagine the neighbors?
Well, it might be a step up.
Ugh. All right. We ready, Dawson?
It's time. Once again, to experience the exquisite exasperation in March Madness. We officially closed out round one Friday with some blowouts and upsets in the Classics Conference.
veggie sandwiches got stale and were steered and cleared out of the tournament by Click It or Ticket. In the big government conference, much like in real life, teachers' unions didn't show up against food stamps and school lunch programs and got sent on permanent vacation. In the California conference, forest lawn flower guys paid no respects and buried graffiti. And finally, in the pop culture conference, Gillette's toxic masculinity ad had anything but a close shave after blowing the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame out of the tournament harder than Devo blows in general. On to the Bittersweet 16. Our first matchup is in the Pop Culture Conference. DJ Khaled is back for another one against Little Miss Sunshine.
All right, DJ Khaled, I'll make these a little shorter because we've done them before. DJ Khaled, last time I saw DJ Khaled was on TMZ because he was getting a mani-pedi and he wanted to make sure he filmed himself getting a mani-pedi. What a tremendous sack of douche manure. That's right. I've taken the worst solid and the worst liquid and put them together to create the ultimate in insults. He's a sack of douche manure. So he's sitting there being filmed, being groomed. You should never fucking film yourself being groomed. He's got the people working on his feet. He's getting the back of his head fucking cleaned off. Also, the sweatpants and the beard should be illegal for anyone who's morbidly obese, because I feel like if you get a velour sweat outfit and a beard, you can get as fucking fat as you want. The fishbowl needs to be shrunk because he's the size of a fucking whale, and he never stops talking about his kid. He's one of these guys who's like, I'm grooming my kid, and you think to yourself, oh my God, are we going to have another DJ Khaled? Like, is my son going to have to contend with his talentless sack of shit son? And the answer is yes. And you go, well, what are the chances we'll know who his son is? What are the chances he'll be able to do what dad did? Well, I don't know. If it's a LeBron James, maybe that's a question. If it's Michael Jordan, maybe that's a question. But DJ Khaled does nothing. So, of course, his son is going to fucking do everything and be alive long enough to annoy my fucking son. Little Miss... Is that what it is, Dawson? Sorry.
That's right.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine. Little Miss Sunshine. All right, well, we've covered a lot of ground, so I got two angles. One is Steve Carell. Oh, Steve Carell, he's so embarrassed when he goes in the AM/PM and he's caught with his suicide attempt, Chippendales wristbands on. He's the only... All right. Now, listen. He's the only person in that fucking microbus who's wearing a long-sleeve shirt. You know why? Because they're in Arizona and they're coming to Long Beach and it's during the summer. So every single person there is wearing a short sleeve shirt because it's hot outside and the microvan does not have air conditioning. But Steve Carell is wearing a long sleeve shirt, but he has it cuffed up just enough so that you can see that he attempted to kill himself because he was in love with a college professor. And then when he goes to the AM/PM and he runs into his ex-lover, he's humiliated having to hide his hands behind his back so his ex-lover doesn't discover that he tried to kill him because of his ex-relationship with the man. But I would argue that before you enter the AM/PM, you can simply roll your sleeves down and then it'll be none the better. So you could have a fucking swastika tattoo on your inner wrist, I'd be none the wiser because you rolled your fucking sleeves down. Who the fuck directed this film where he rolls his sleeves back just enough so you can see his Chippendale cuffs? And the thing that really pisses me off about this goddamn movie is we went to the competition. And we got to the competition, and Little Miss Sunshine just fucking shakes her fat gunt the whole time and does nothing. By the way, the song she's shaking her ass to is from a guy who is incarcerated for torturing women and abducting women. And I don't even know the fucking charges against Rick James. But Rick James has some hellacious charges against him. His charge, he like got women, locked them in his dungeon, and had sex with them. Max Vatican, look it up. Don't get me. I'm focused here. My point is this. Everyone else plays the piano. Everyone else sings opera. Everyone else swings a baton. But not Little Miss Sunshine. She just gets up there like a drunk fatty at a fucking frat party and shakes her ass. And somehow, she is the one we're rooting for? Fuck that. Practice and hard work, bitches.
Wow. Whew. Well, this is the bittersweet 16 for a reason, Gina.
Clearly. Yeah, I mean, geez, I'm almost speechless.
I'm going to have to deduct a point for fat guns. That's a child, for God's sake.
I was just going to say.
She's over 18 now.
The only bone I really had to pick with either was, yeah, referring to the 10-year-old's gunt. But I got to say, the fire in the belly over this specific problem with a costume design flaw.
Yes.
I thought was very poignant.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
And also, we just took a side detour about the horrors that Rick James has inflicted upon women.
Indeed.
I think it was really three-dimensional, really well thought out. I'm going with Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, thank you.
So, okay, this is interesting because I'm going the other way. I liked douche manure. That was a nice injection into the public consciousness.
Yep.
And going after his son was an inspired move for grooming him. We may have to go to the tiebreaker on this, Chris and Dawson.
Yeah.
We're going to give it to DJ Khaled.
Wow.
Wow. All right.
Close.
Although the judges over here say they really liked Fat Gunt.
Oh, I like it all.
Next up, in the big government conference, Elizabeth Warren against first round upset victor, Dr. Fauci.
Elizabeth Warren. Well, I hate Elizabeth Warren because whenever she talks, she sounds like she's about to cry because everything is so fucking horrible in this country. But let's focus on the aesthetic. Someone's got to take that bitch to LensCrafters. Those fucking glasses are driving me nuts. I've seen them for way too long. She looks like an 18th century cobbler or Ben Franklin's optometrist or something. There's something fucking wrong with her frames. Get something cool. Get some Wayfarers. Fucking tint them up. Look like Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park or whatever the fuck glasses he wore. And I'll tell you how you know a politician is phony. There is a famous video of her that's online where she's drinking a beer. Anytime a politician goes, I'm going to have a beer, watch me drink a beer, that means they want you to think they're a real human being. I've never said to anyone, hey, I'm thinking about cracking a beer. Come on, come down. Let me ring the bell. I'm a regular guy. I'm drinking a beer. She's like, I'm going to drink a beer because I'm a regular human being, not a fucking fembot who wants to tax this country into the fucking poorhouse. What do we got? Dr. Fauci?
Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci. Oh, Fauci's great. You don't have to wear a mask. That was a year ago. Now you do have to wear a mask. Then it goes into, well, two masks are better than one. Then we're getting into the three mask territory. Now he's being interviewed, and people say to him, but Fauci, after we're vaccinated, do we still have to wear a mask? Yes, you still must wear a mask. Really? What the fuck are we getting vaccinated for? And it's sort of like saying, well, you know, after you get your nutsack snipped, she still needs to be on birth control and you still need wear a condom. No, she doesn't. And no, he doesn't. Once you're vaccinated, you're fucking vaccinated. And then this thing where it's like, well, there could be a fourth strain coming out of Europe. Oh, okay. A hypothetical that keeps us in our fucking masks and lockdown for another 100 years. This is awesome. What other hypotheticals can we talk about? Meteors hitting, volcanoes going up. Yes, there may be another strain. There may be everything all the time. You may get hit by a fucking bus later on tonight, bitch. But I'm taking the fucking mask off. when I get the fucking vaccination. And then you do the scenarios like, well, if you're vaccinated and the couple you're hanging out with is vaccinated, then it might be okay for a small group meeting. You want to keep this shit going? I don't want to keep this shit going. You're fucking 80 years old. You want to ride this thing into the fucking grave? I'll do a double mask on your ass and I'll take one of them off when they shut the coffin lid.
Inspired.
Again, the competition is getting fierce. As much as I love the fire of the Dr. Fauci one, felt more about masks and variants than about Fauci himself. I loved the creativity of going after Warren's glasses and her beer. That was bringing Dr. Ian Malcolm into this. That was good stuff.
You got to find Warren talking about her beer. It's such a politician move. Sorry, go
ahead. I agree. I think that there was more of a fire in the belly for the second one, but it wasn't about Fauci himself as much. The only thing I'm a little bit sad about is you couldn't. Yeah, I know that this is March Madness, but I know you love her skin. I wish it came up.
I
wish you brought up how silky smooth and velvety soft her skin is. But I agree with Brian. It was an interesting take on what you hate about her.
Yeah, I appreciate her skin for a 72-year-old woman. She's got fantastic skin and hair. She must be eating the gelatin or something. What is it?
the Knox gelatin.
Yes, yeah. Must be on that shit. But glass is outdated. All right, do we pick a winner? Sorry.
Yeah, we're both for Warren, yes?
Yeah.
All right.
Warren moves on.
All right, Elizabeth Warren moves on. Now, last but not least, in the Classics Conference, it's emotional support animals versus waiters and tipping.
Emotional support animals. Well, let's not forget the time I was walking through LAX, an emotional support animal, I wish, took a dump. I wish that fucking dog took a dump, because that would have been a great upgrade from the liquid shit that squirted out the dog's ass 440 feet and turned a corner. Literally, when I got done walking behind the dog with his 50 foot of shit laid out, I was at Grandma's house. That's right. I went full fucking Hansel and Gretel on everyone's ass. The fucking emotional support animal. What does it say about you that you're unable to do things without your fucking animal? And by the way, where did you get that animal? I'll tell you where you got that animal. That animal was a rescue. It's not your emotional support animal. It's a fucking dog that someone else got tired of feeding and they dumped it off. And then let's just deconstruct this. What if somebody had got that dog before you fucking got to the pound and then you got to another dog? Would the other dog be your emotional support animal? How's everyone your fucking soulmate?
Waiters and tipping.
I have a new rule for waiters. Waiters, this is a very scary profession because of tipping. All right, let me explain. I had a girlfriend who was a stripper a million years ago, and I said to her, why don't you stop stripping and get a job? And she did quit stripping and get a job, and she said, you know what? This fucking job sucks because it pays $9 an hour, they take taxes out, I have to be there by 8:30 in the morning, and no one is buying me champagne. This job blows, I want to go back to stripping. Well, waiter is sort of like stripper, where you never fucking age out. I mean, when I was in Maui with everyone like 2 years ago, the waiter's a 50-year-old dude. Why would he ever stop being a waiter? Why would he ever get vocational training? Why would he contribute to society besides bringing people fucking short ribs? Because he's walking out of the building with $400 cash every night that he doesn't have to claim to the fucking government. And we're the fucking suckers who went to architectural school, who became carpenters, who became orthodontists. We're the ones that are fucking making less than the fucking waiters. This is not doing a service to the human being who wants to be a waiter. Here are the new rules for waiters. You cannot be a waiter if you're older than 26 years of age, but you may begin again after the age of 68. For that fucking window, you have to go into society with the rest of the world that doesn't rely on tips and make your fucking way.
Wow.
This might be the toughest yet. for me.
I don't know about you, Gina. I looked at support animals as a number one seed, like just the prohibitive favorite. Sure. I'm like, oh, this will be quick and ugly. But I was pleasantly surprised with the second rant. The comparing it to stripping, and also with the new rule that you can't be a server between certain ages, yeah. Inspired. I love the existential question, like what does that say about you, or like if you had shown up earlier, maybe you got a different dog, and then it's like an Inception situation. But I'm leaning towards waiters.
Yeah, I hear that. I've never heard of Gonzaga except for in this calendar, you know, in this month. Is that a number one seed school?
They are number one seed. Okay. They're very good.
Yeah, I think that emotional support animals are the Gonzaga of this tournament. And so therefore, we expect a lot of them. You had me at volatile diarrhea when it came to the support animal. And I think that you don't need much else. However, I think you're right. I think Brian's right that you brought in you folded in these beautiful existential questions and solved it. So I say yes. We go tippers.
Waiters pulls off the upset.
Yeah. All right.
You can get your bracket at adamcarolla.com and tune in tomorrow for more Bittersweet 16 action as the Big Rants rolls on in March Madness Madness.
We got Elizabeth Warren advertising she's drinking a beer.
Yeah, so she went on.
She's talking to her own phone. I'm going to have a beer.
Yeah, this is on her Instagram Live. She did a live stream.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
Such a filmer.
When
I drink, I tell people to put the fucking camera down.
Hey, Robert, my husband Bruce is now in here. You want a beer?
No, I'll pass on the beer for now.
You sure? Come over and say hello to folks.
Yes.
Because they've never had beer
this
that
is
out.
My sweetie.
Hello.
And I'm crazy.
I love you too.
Thank you for being
her
here.
Pleasure.
I'm glad you're here.
Like a lot of slapping.
Oh my God, here's so far.
By the way, she drinks a beer like Vin Diesel drinks a beer, like someone who's never owned a beer before. Like it's like those movies where the guy has to smoke, but he's holding it with his fist and he's coughing. Like
I was waiting for some sort of pop top debacle. I didn't know she'd be able to get it off.
I was wondering about that.
All right, Peter Facinelli is waiting for.